SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And boy, we've hit the weather exacta. two days in a row with sunshine. Don't worry, there won't be a trifecta. Really a beautiful day yesterday at Saratoga, and it actually got hot and really pleasant and made for a really fun day of racing. You could tell that everybody was grateful and enjoyed the conditions. That included the horses. And all it took was one day of fast and firm for dawdling fractions on the turf course. it's all you needed. It was one firm footing day. And horses are getting away with 52nd half miles. Really nice afternoon. And also at Del Mar, because we're going to kick off the conversation on this Thursday. A lot of the regular Thursday discussion, of course, with Tony Black and Steve Askin and Rich Yang. And don't know about Quigley yet. I know that we're going to also today, I'll fit it in right off the break here. And Julie Krohn is going to join us late in the show, hour three, 8:30, 8:40, California time. And Julie and Jay Hovde on their way to Saratoga, where Saturday night, the unveiling of a bronze portrait of Julie by artist Linda Stinson. And Jay Hovde told me the thing is stunning, and I guess Julie had the opportunity to decide where. I guess they cast they asked, you know, where Julie would like them, and one of the thoughts was to offer one of them to the hall, and the hall was thrilled. Not only were they thrilled to have this bronze, but they built this evening activity, the unveiling, around it. So, Julie Krohn, it's really been kind of a special year for Julie with the quarter century mark of, was it the quarter? Let me think about that for a second. The Colonial Affair anniversary, going back to Belmont, and it's Julie Krohn's been very much in the presence this season. Such a great impact on the game with her Hall of Fame career, and she gets to come back and be feted. And, you know, I haven't had a chance. I'm supposed to connect with John Hendrickson and get John on and talk about the news from last week, the work that is going to reinvent the Hall of Fame, the National Museum of Racing, and they got a monstrous project, $20 million plan, basically to transform. And it's time. It probably makes sense. The hall's great, and the museum's great, and it could be more interactive and more, I think, you know, more modern, and that's what they're going to do. But looking forward to a visit with Julie Krohn. Always fun. And Saratoga, one of her favorite places. She's got so many, so many memories and moments from her great career here, and particularly when when you bring up Chief, and when you bring up Alan Jurgens to Julie, she waxes poetic and philosophic. We are also going to talk to David Donk. Honk for Donk. And boy, David Donk is on a consistent basis. No news for anybody that follows New York racing, but David Donk does a tremendous job. And in one of those, I don't want to say blue collar, but you know, one of those horsemen that year in, year out, does a great job and wins, been winning consistently. And, of course, a disciple of Woody Stevens. No shortage of Woody, of acorns from the Woody tree that are kicking around. And David, one of them, and we're going to talk to him. Another win for Donk yesterday, and that came with Elegant Zip. And that was really, merged this into a discussion about the day's racing. There were some things that happened yesterday that were really interesting, and not the least of which was that two-division split. It's funny, you know, watching the entries at Saratoga, there's certain divisions that are almost every time a race comes up that gets split, and the maidens particularly. And, you know, then there's others where they have to really try to roust up a lineup and get a decent sized field. And here was the second race yesterday and the fifth. And this was really strange, because you had big bulky entry, you know, for both races. They split it up, and when they made the split, all the what seemed like the best quote unquote horses landed in race two. They were the ones that had some form, including Elegant Zip, which made him, you know, very much the horse to beat, her. And then came Toss Up, the Ralph Evans Pioneer of the Nile filly, bred by the Bromans, as it was, and not a bad second in her debut, which came in the Lynbrook in the stake. And Rick Violette was bringing Toss Up back for a second start and got a dry, fast track for the first time. And so the two of them, either one of them, had one or the other been in the fifth race, you know, they would have been 4-5. Elegant Zip was 4-5 in here, and Toss Up was 3-2. Among the firsters, there was the Dominic Schettino Alpha filly, Miss Flambe, and she happened to be out of the very good stake winner Peach Flambe, the homebred, Rosenthal and Bernstein, also an outstanding accounting firm. And the win by Elegant Zip and Toss Up second, and then Miss Flambe was third. And Miss Flambe will not be a maiden long, neither will Toss Up. But then it was funny, because the other division, that fifth race, you had another Finger Lakes Invader, and another Finger Lakes Invader that wins. Alejandro Memo shows up, and she's a super freak, absolutely dominant under Eric Cancel, goes to the front, never looked back. We got the 12-1. I picked her on top. I keyed off of her, and she ended up, you know, a nice pick four, nice enough considering the sequence and the other winners. And the pick five. Pick five paid a little under 600, and the pick four just under 200. But what was fascinating about this was, you know, you had what felt like the most nondescript group and they all landed in the fifth. It was weird, and you just don't know. It had toss up or peach flambe or miss flambe ended up in the fifth. They would have been favored, and I mean the way this Shanghai Bobby filly ran, I don't know if she was going to be beaten by anybody. But you could tell the public, you know, the favorite was Big Brown Cat, who I had no interest in, and she was 7-2, so you get the idea right away that nobody was all that enamored. You then had D's Sis, the Roddy Valenti homebred by City Zip, second choice, and then a couple of 11-2 types, Nova Girl and Salt Hay Bay. They were both between 5.5 and 6-1. So the public, and also Don't Tell Addie, the Steve Hobby visitor. So you had five horses within 7-2 and 5.5, little under 6-1. So the public was all not that interested in anybody. And in that situation, to me, that's when you reach for an outsider, and she's a super freak. Absolutely was the kind of horse that you look for. This is no different than Collegeville Girl earlier in the meet, the Richie Vega Invader from Philly. And there's been now three or maybe four of these horses that have come in and won at nice prices. And you hit one of these and you key them right and multis and what, however you use them. There was another remarkable feature of this group, and when you know when you try to figure out how do you find a horse like this, and you know what enables you, gives you the confidence, if you're using the Clocker Report. In fact, I had this conversation with the team at the Matisse tables on the way out. Yesterday, there was a very odd set of comments regarding this group in the Clocker Report. There was not one positive Clocker note on the horses that Welsh and Donnie Harris and Dave Grenig looked at for this race. Every single comment was milquetoast and mundane. Salt Hay Bay gives up a length late in the move. Big Brown Cat thoroughly outworked. D-Sis fell back from a workmate. Heartbustin' Girl, second of a gate trio, finishing a length behind Hubba Bubba after average half in 50.50. Charming Kara on the correct lead but looked second best. Nova Girl, slightly best of a team, finished the half length best under late urging. There wasn't anybody on the grounds that was giving any hint of a good performance. So when you looked at She's a Super Freak, you saw, you know, a 36-3 bullet at Finger Lakes. You saw a nice 5-furlong gate move. How about a 48-1 on July 5th? I mean, this was obviously, you know, a decent enough filly, and this is where you reach and you take a shot with a different horse, with an outsider, the stranger, as they call him, and you get rewarded. 27-20. How about in the stake? The other big price of the day, we got a carryover. and she's a super freak, helped that, knocking a bunch of people out. Wesley Ward, he takes the Ascot winner out, shang, and still runs 1-2 because the longer price of the two Wesleys, Stillwater Cove. Marcus Stables beats Chelsea Cloisters. Chelsea Cloisters got the lead, moving along nicely, but Stillwater Cove, a winner at first asking at Keeneland, and then she really didn't have much to offer in the Albany Stakes, but was ready here and wins herself the Bolton Landing. Nice. We'll look at some Del Mar too and get ready for the big Alabama and Pacific Classic weekend. Let's take a break. Getting going at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet Summer Treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Don't act like you know me, nah, nah, yeah. I am not your homie, not your homie, ooh, nah, nah, yeah.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
What you gonna do?
Time is money, so don't fuck my mind. Seeing out with my girls, I'ma have a good time. Step back with your chit-chat, killing my vibe. Camera flashing, please step back, it's my style, you're cramping. You here for long, oh no, I'm just passing. Do you wanna drink? Nah, thanks for asking. Ooh, nah, nah, yeah. Don't act like you know me, nah, nah, yeah. I am not your homie, not your homie. Ooh, nah, nah, yeah.
We're back at the races. Like you know me, like coming up on 20. Nah, nah, yeah. Into hour one, a couple other notes about yesterday and a couple of wins. You know, Jason Service, we've connected with Jason a couple of times. yesterday and Tuesday. He had that nice week last week, of course, with Call Paul, the Frisian Fire, one of a few Frisian Fires. In fact, Frisian Fire came up yesterday with Sid talking about the one that Seth Klarman has, and Call Paul picked out by Gary Young. And of course, World of Trouble as well. But then yesterday, two nice wins. Service had a slowish start the first third of the meet and started to click. And two horses that won the same way yesterday. Still Crazy, who really looked strong in that claiming group, and absolutely was ridden aggressively by Arad Ortiz, who had his own pick three, the eighth, ninth, and tenth, the wins the stake, and then he came back in the nightcap on Overnight Success. I picked Overnight Success and paid $11, which was a pretty nice return. I completely botched the late pick five, the Naira pick five, and the late pick four, because when Shang 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 scratched, I took him out of the play and failed to put her, and I failed to put Stillwater Cove in, which was just mind-bogglingly stupid, and it cost me both the late pick four and the late pick five. But the horse that I keyed off of, actually, even though they had the winner in that nightcap, I was looking forward to betting the Tommy Bush, Clyde's Runner. And in fact, I had two horses yesterday that there was Charada for Mrs. Hamilton. Had the absolute pleasure, in fact, of meeting Emery Hamilton for the first time. She was on her, she was, as Shug told you yesterday, and how, boy, I had a bunch of people say to me yesterday at the track, and then I saw online how much they love Shug. A Shug visit, but it is just radio gold. He's absolutely the best. And Mrs. Hamilton had even heard about us talking about Queena. And so she was with Allison McGahee, and she said to Allison, how do I listen to this conversation about Queena and Lorena? And the filly that ran yesterday, and both Charada and Clyde's Runner, they both were at the absolute back of the pack. This was a maiden claiming, and the other one the maiden special. And that firster, that nice firster, Civil Union, you got a decent price on Chad Brown, Civil Union, who looked like one of the other ones. I mean, it was pretty clear who the horses to use were in that maiden bunch. But both Charada and Clyde's Runner had just too much to do late. And they both finished, they both finished fifth, I think. And what was interesting about Overnight Success, Arad Ortiz able to get forwardly placed, and the pace was pedestrian, 24-4, 49-3, 114. And Ortiz takes over off the turn and was just, it was the easiest winner at almost 5-1. And the Grand Motion, Midnight Tea Time, second in there. So, couple of wins for Jason Service. We got to catch up with Jason here along the way soon, because things are, he's winning regularly. It's still Crazy. That was smart of Ortiz to just basically hamstring that field and just take off. Meanwhile, at Del Mar, and there's, by the way, $47,000 carryover for today's card. And as it happens, the fourth through ninth, it's an old-fashioned nine-race card. The fourth through the ninth, this is a good bulky sequence. You're looking at the 9 by 8 by 9 by 8 by 10 by 9. So fairly daunting sequence in here today, this carryover. You got maidens involved. You got 3 maiden races, 2 state bred. Again, another split of the state bred filly division. And of course, we've got our 2-year-old state bred fillies that are going to run at the end of the meet, and there's obviously no shortage of New York bred fillies. There's 2 more today, 2 more divisions. Just like yesterday, the 4th and it's funny, they start and end the pick 6 sequence. Yesterday they started and ended the early pick 4, the state breds. So this on the turf. And we're good to go. Turf will be even firmer today than it was yesterday. You've also got 3-year-old fillies on the inner going a mile. First level allowance. That's a nice group. It'll be a fairly short-priced Chad Brown favorite you might be able to lean on. That would be Altea. But Sister Sunday is okay, too. Christophe Clement. We'll talk. We'll see. And there's non-winners of 3 lifetime for 50. That's a tough group. Mile and an eighth. That may be a sinkhole race. And then the 6th, you're looking at fillies and mares. You got a bunch of firsters. That's a tricky group as well, the 6th race. This is a challenging sequence. I'll have final decisions after scratches. We'll put it up after another good day yesterday. Del Mar, a filly that we've been a big fan of and we've talked a lot about. We talked with Neil Drysdale a few times about Vexatious, and she had been looking for a win, and she gets a little bit of class relief by slipping into the CTT TOC, the $75,000 stake yesterday, mile and 3/8 at Del Mar. And she didn't, what was amazing, 5-2 in a 4-horse field. Queen Blossom took all the money. The Baltus, 5-year-old, the Irish bred, and was just no match at all for Vexatious. The Giant's Causeway for Calumet, and we'll see what Drysdale does next. But Vexatious had not won since her maiden win at Del Mar last year. This was her 3rd time on turf. She's out of that nice dream of summer. And she had tried a lot of the heavy heads. You know, she was 3rd in the Fairgrounds Oaks, 3rd in the Fantasy. You may forget last year she was 4th in the Kentucky Oaks, beaten 2 2¾ lengths. After looking like, you know, she was contending in the late stages of that race, and then got overwhelmed. For those that don't remember, Abel Tasman, Daddy's Little Darlin', and Lockdown, 1-2-3 ahead in the Oaks, and then the season sort of went sideways from there. She didn't run well in the Mother Goose. Then they tried the Del Mar Oaks, where she actually ran okay. And then she got the winter off, came back in June, and 3rd off the layoff, Vexatious wins and gets her second career win and her first stake win. But she's got more to give. And Drysdale, born again hard, as they say. Drysdale's rolling along. A couple of other notes from yesterday. Square Peggy, a 2-year-old. Brian Corner for the Blinkers On team and a host of partners. There's like another 9 names on that line. And this is Square Eddie, second start, Redham bred, and reached 160,000 at the Barrett sale in the spring. So winner at second second asking, and was not favored. There was also a clever little drop down by Peter Miller and Rockingham Ranch yesterday in the opener. Savagery, you got 860, and I thought this was notable. After two tries of maiden special weight company, drops just a notch to 62.5, wins, was a $100,000 OBS April purchase, and wins and goes unclaimed, and won off by a dozen lengths, was just romped, and nobody took him. He's a Bellamy Road. So that looks like a confidence builder. And I'm curious what kind of a fig. That was an impressive, I happened to see the opener yesterday. He was on one of the split screens, one of the screens up at Saratoga. So big weeks, of course, both the venues, Saratoga and Del Mar. We put the Alabama together. We'll head to the break. David Donk is going to join us next. But as we go, a quick note about the way the days came together. The Alabama ended up with an interesting lineup. Some names that really hadn't been rumored, but certainly Steve Asmussen has got the centerpiece. Midnight Pisu. But also, she's a Julie, who we've been talking about as she emerged. They draw side by side, the 3 and the 4. Brad Cox, Figueroa's queen in here, who looks to be moving in the right direction. Coach Rocks, you knew was going to run. Roddy Valenti and Dale Romans. Rudy Brissett, and this will be interesting. Talk Viv to me for Team Valor. She draws the outside. Dallas Stewart, Auspicious Babe for Rock Ridge. It's hard not to come up with a Blazing Saddles line, Rock Ridge, and down inside, Todd Pletcher with the Nice Guy Stables, Johnny V, Petey Bianchi, and Kenny McPeak with Eskimo Kisses. She's kind of showed up for all the dances. Jose Ortiz aboard for Gainesway. So a very nice field of eight. And the mile and a quarter is the big equation. That's the big question. The Lake Placid drew 7. Daddy is a legend trying to swipe both of the 3-year-old turf standards here. But Rushing falls back. She missed the Lake George, but she's ready for the Lake Placid. And Dina Del Sur in there as well. Go Noni Go for Mike Maker. Kapla Temptress for Team Valor. So they got looking for a Team Valor exacta or double. And how about The Way I Am, Graham Motion, who we mentioned from Mike Dubb. Nice group. Significant form as well for Stephanie Seymour Brandt. So Chad with a pair. We'll take a timeout here. Dave Donk's going to join us. We'll look a little bit at the Del Mar action, too, because the Pacific Classic supporting stakes came up. Nice card at Del Mar on Saturday. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're stars now, can't you see? The center of the world is only me. Flowing along through catacombs. The endless cycle, flesh to bone.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 to the top of the hour, and one of our favorite New York horsemen and consistent winner, David Donk. Honk for Donk, and we honk all the time, especially when he's winning races on a regular basis. It's another good Saratoga for David Donk and his team and his owners. Welcome, David, and congrats on, I guess I could name what, a half a dozen wins?
Not quite yet, man. But not
how many you got?
One.
Okay.
I got
you got
five.
Yeah. All right.
A little more than I thought I might have.
Well, what, when you come up here, what is the goal? I mean, is there a mental picture of what you expect?
Well, I think fortunately I've been doing it long enough. You know, I came to New York 33 years ago to work for Woody Stevens. And I've been on my own since 91. And over time, you learn to get humbled a bit. So I think it's important to come with no expectations. You've seen a lot of great riders, trainers, owners have some rough meets up here and, you know, have expectations. And there's so many variables, obviously, like this year with the weather. I think it's important. I know for myself, I don't have the expectations. So, like I said, I wanted to get to one first. I knew I couldn't get to two until I got to one. And I think even when everyone wins one, there's kind of that big sigh of relief. You're not going to get a duck. So, you know, and then you take it if it comes. And fortunately, it's been a very productive last couple of weeks.
Very much. And you're also always at the disposal of your stock, and then you have to make decisions about placing it. And one of the things that, you know, that you can see, if you clear conditions at Belmont, you're going to be doubly challenged, because taking a step forward here to the next, you know, the next condition, talked about this with Shug yesterday, and not only is it inherently
tougher at the next level up. You're also dealing with, you know, everybody pointing for the same, you know, opportunities. And so, you know, you got horses showing up that you don't necessarily face downstate. You got horses coming in from Kentucky and so far this meet, Philadelphia, Finger Lakes, God knows where.
Yeah, definitely, Steve. Listen, it is. You know, a couple people had big meets at Belmont. You know, Christoph, great example. You know, he was just on fire the last month. And, you know, and it's hard to maintain that. You're correct about the conditions. And I think your bigger outfits point for this meet. So it makes it a little tougher. You know, listen, I'm not afraid to say to my clients, everyone, I don't have the good horses. And I say that I don't have a horse that could win a greatest stake, let alone probably even run in a greatest stake at the moment. But you know, I've got a lot of horses. I have great clients. Everybody pays. It's a business model that works for me. And, you know, I love to run. The purse money is so good in New York. It's a little disappointing when we see them struggle with entries at times. But, you know, for my clientele, it's important if I'm second, third, and fourth a bunch. And it's a big deal to their bottom line, let as well as my own.
There's certain decisions, too, that you can make that help this situation. And yesterday's winner, Elegant Zip, some of it is happenstance. You can maybe drop in a notch. Missed, second in the debut and then, you know, comes right back here and was clearly the horse to beat. Talk a little bit about this runaway and Hyde filly from yesterday, because she looks like, you know, she's going to be the type of New York bred that, you know, that does well.
Yeah, you know, she was in the yearling sale last October. She was RNA for $30,000. And a blood stock agent that I use, Marat Farrell, you know, called me and advised me that I should probably try and purchase this horse. And, you know, and she said if you're not willing to do the whole horse, Michael McMahon, who was selling the horse, they would probably stay in for part of it. So, you know, I made an offer less than that, and I stayed in for half. And Michael and the breeders of the horse have stayed in on her. And in turn, I sold a small piece to another client of mine, Sean Carney. You know, the last couple of years, I've kind of diversified my stable a little bit with some ownership. And, you know, fortunately, it's worked out well. But, you know, she's a New York bred. So they run for a lot of money. And if they can run a little bit, well, there's a lot of opportunities. So, you know, at this point, she's more than paid for herself.
Now, running for 75 goes a long way, and then you look at a win like you got earlier in the meet with Merlin's Muse, and you started her last fall. This is a three-year-old, and when she came back in June, you dropped her in for maiden claiming tag, and then you get the win, the third start of the season. So placing them, and you, it's obvious from watching your horses, and clearly you have to have clients that are supportive. You want to run them where they can win.
Yeah, you know, obviously it's, my win percentage is not going to be very gaudy, and obviously dealing with a lot of different clients. Some people are a little more particular about, you know, being a little bit aggressive where you run them. And at the end of the day, listen, they're paying the bills, so that's okay. You know, sometimes it takes a little while maybe to get one where it should be. You know, but she was a filly that had run and then it had an issue and had surgery and came back. And obviously, as a three-year-old, it's a little bit tougher. But she got in a little trouble early in her starts, and I was impressed with her last time. You know, she had a good turn of foot. Irad gave her a great ride, and she was kind of covered up and exploded. She's in a little tougher spot tomorrow in the allowance race, but I'll give her the opportunity to prove whether she belongs in that company or not, and whether she goes forward. So, Placement is obviously a big key. And people that have a lot of horses can afford to be a little more aggressive. And there's, certain guys that are very good at it.
You've also, when it came to horses, horses like King Creesa, here's a horse that and a client that has kind of an interesting management style, but you obviously have had a lot of great moments with a horse like this, and the Creesas, they've got a nice breeding program, so you have the opportunity to to keep sending out horses that in some cases you're familiar with, siblings, and the longer you have a client like that, the more opportunity there is to even campaign sons and daughters of horses that that you had managed.
Yeah, it's interesting when you start having to train the first dam or the second dam. You know, he's been around a little while, so he's been a pretty cool horse. He changed hands last year, and then we have him back this year. And obviously, Father Time is catching up with him a bit. He's 9 years old, and he'll be campaigned a few more starts. And ideally, he's going to be retired at the end of the year. And Michael Blowen from Old Friends of Kentucky would love to have him there. I introduced Michael to Jerry and Susan the other day here at the races, and I'm pretty sure that's where he's going to go. So it's nice that he's had a fantastic career, a great following, great for the New York Reg program, and hopefully it ends on a good note here, and he's going to get a great home.
Well, another major name that from a client side that I want to mention, the Generazios, and talk about picking up horses for them, and that first out winner was certainly a highlight, one of the highlights of the season.
Yeah, listen, Frank gave me a call this spring and said, listen, I've got too many horses. And he was with Christoph, and he had a lot of horses with Jimmy Ryerson, and he had a few with Christoph, and he had been with Christoph, and I have to give all the credit to him. He recommended me to Frank and Christian Generazio. So, I had a short conversation, and he sent me one older filly and a couple of young horses. And we ran the colt, 2-year-old form, the other day. Yeah, first timer by Big Brown. I knew that he'd like to get to the grass. It's interesting that a lot of their horses have been pretty good sprinters. And obviously, Christoph's got two very good sprinters for them, but. It was a really good race for him. He was, broke well, and he did a great job, rated him a little bit, and said he had plenty of horse. So it was nice to win for them, and then to get a win up here and kind of get us started in the right way. So I'm going to have to give a lot of credit to Christoph, for recommending me. I'm going to tell you, over the years, that's probably the first time that's ever been done. So something that used to be done in the past, so I can't thank him enough.
That's really nice, and the horse in question, Veterans Beach, is who we're talking about, and another Generazio homebred. And we talked to Frank last year. I think we owe Patricia a chance on the air too. She was miffed that Frank got to take all the bows for Disco Partner, and so we owe her. They've been around the game so long, and if they have the kind of success they're having at this, at this stage in their life, it's amazing.
Yeah, Frank trained on his own for a long time, Eric, and listen, they were huge supporters of the New Jersey bred program. They still do breed a few there. They breed some Florida breds.
Yep.
They've been a big supporter of the New York bred program, and yeah, it's been great the last couple of years to have. The two really good horses, Disco Partner, and I'm drawing a blank. What's the other one, Steve?
Disco Partner and Perfect Grant. Disco.
There's another one. Disco Partner and then the other one. They run together, the two sprinters. But, yeah, they've been, they've run in the Breeders' Cup, and, so it's fun that they've gotten to experience it. And, again, they're just know, big, big supporters and been very successful, you know, in New York and New Jersey.
What do you do after a win like that? What do you do with Veterans Beach?
Boys, you know, it's funny. Everyone loves to win. Well, I love to see them be second first time because then you can run back somewhere and see if they move forward, just like Elegant Zip did yesterday. You know, she was second first time out in a really good race, and then you get to run back in a maiden race and see if they move forward a bit. So with this horse, with Veterans Beach, I'm not really sure if something will pop up at Belmont. The only real option looking ahead is, oddly enough, I didn't realize the Futurity is now on the grass. I don't know if that's the first year or the second year of that, but that's not till October, I believe, early October, which obviously is open company, so it would be testing them a bit. So we'll see, unless something else pops up. You know, we'll have to sit on him a bit. I did ask Manny when he won the other day. I love to stretch horses out, but I think he thought he was best at sprinting, and he's probably right. So I think at this time, I would probably try to stretch him out again.
Well, he's by Big Brown out of Sky Mesa Mare. And feels,
so, you know, and the Generazias have been so successful with their sprinters, so I you know, it's not broke. I'm not going to try to fix it yet. So, an experiment. So, we'll see. We'll see what comes available next month. We'll see if anything pops up in the condition book at Belmont. Otherwise, we'll try and be patient.
You mentioned the start of your career, and we've talked about Woody Stevens with you and with any number of the Woody Stevens disciples, and I said there's a number of Woody acorns that are that have grown on the circuit. It's got to be fun to have Phil Gleaves back in town, and Phil reestablishing his New York connections, and Patty Reynolds, and even Denise Stampinato in the Horseman's bookkeeper office.
Especially Phil and I train. You know, it's something, you know, it was the greatest break of my career to go to work for him. You know, I come from a Finger Lakes area, so I knew when I went to work for him that I was working with a legend in his own time. So, I talk about him probably every day. There's something that I do that I would refer back to him. You know, I'm honored and proud to have the opportunity to work for him. And I don't want people to forget about those guys, that generation. You know, it comes up every year around the Belmont time. You know, someone from the media or somewhere will ask about it. It's interesting, Steve. I'll talk to people from the media, especially the people that work for NYRA. You know, a lot of interns that are younger and, you know, they weren't even born when Woody won five Belmonts in a row. You know, so it's a part of history that I was fortunately to be a part of, and a lot of people, just like yourself, and, you know, I think it's important that they always get recognized. We don't forget about that.
No, and when it comes to, you know, the legendary achievements in the sport, you know, Kelso's five Jockey Club Gold Cups and Woody's five Belmonts, and it's an amazing, never to be duplicated.
A lot of history to our sport, you know, and just like all sports, you know, a lot of great, you know, whether it's seeing Secretary or Seattle Slew or a Genuine Risk, you know, or Gopher Wand or Dr. Vager, you know, just so many phenomenal horses. We've been fortunate the last few years to see a couple of Triple Crown winners, but, you know, those were, you know, really, really good horses. It could be debatable, like who was better, you know, Mantle Ruth or somebody that plays today, so, or in the last 10 years. So, yeah, it's just a lot of history, especially here at Saratoga and with the Hall of Fame and what goes on. So it's, I'm honored, and it's a pleasure to be a part of it.
Let me ask you about a couple of horses. Our friend John asking about the status of the other Kessler and Ricken.
Two colts. they breeze today. They're at Belmont. Ricken is a colt bought out of the April sale by Central Banker. He's done well. I like the Central Bankers a bit as a New York sire, a sire that stands in, you know, in New York. He possibly could make a start at the end of the meet. I'm trying to get him there. Obviously, you have clients that would love to run here. But if he's ready, I will. The other Kessler is a horse for Bob Spiegel. I've had a lot of the family out of Ruff, Philly, that won the Miss Grillo and a couple other stakes. He's by More Than Ready. He definitely wants to be a grass horse. I'm pretty sure there's not a race here later in the meet, so we'll probably unveil him early in Belmont and probably start him out as a sprint, although he's kind of a big scopey horse, but that mare has had some success with sprinters. So, they're getting close, they'll be pretty stiff competition, especially the other Kessler running in open company. The other horses in the air threat. So it bodes well that my other 2-year-olds have run well here. It gives you a little bit of line on everything that you have in the barn. So
sure.
I'm hopeful it will be pretty useful.
And a personal favorite, I've been a Ella Wiesel fan for a good long time, and that's one of the wins at the meet that you need about one of those a week in the $20 range, and you've been reliable. Ella Wiesel just looked like a beach ball on the PPs in that race, and then luckily didn't have any traffic trouble and gets a win. I'm imagining that you should have an opportunity to run her back before we break camp.
Yeah, she won a 2-event state bred the other day. Philly I bought out of the Keeneland January sale. Peter Schiff from Fox Ridge Farm has pretty much dispersed all his horses. And, I saw her in the sale. Fortunately, I was able to purchase her, at a pretty reasonable number. I retained most ownership interest in her, which is great. She had a couple of tough trips at Belmont with IRED, and it's interesting, we came up here and I wasn't able to get him, and Jose was on one and Manny, and I'm like, Angel, geez, what about Johnny? So I think this filly's live, so I was fortunately Johnny was able to ride her for me, and Johnny's like a brother to me, and I really don't have many good horses for him to ride. Gave her a great ride, she got a great trip, and I have to tell you, when she won, I looked up at the tow board and I was like, crap, she's 9-1. So I was surprised she was that big a price. I thought she was obviously one of the better contenders, but there is an A other than open allowance race for in the last day of the meet. So hopefully we get to run back there. It'd be fun to run her back here again, 5.5 on the grass here.
Well, that was a good $52,000 that you spent, because all she's done is cash checks from the moment you sent her out in April. I mean, she's a win, 2 seconds, a third, and a fourth, and 5 starts this year.
Yeah, I bought her on purpose knowing that she had a condition left, and she's got some pedigree. So she's a filly. I know she kind of will always retain her value. So at the end of the day, we can always recoup basically the purchase price out of her. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. A great family, Fox Ridge Farm, with Peter Schiff, they had a lot of really good mares. And, this filly's a city zip. And so it's been a lot of fun. And have a couple partners in on her with Sean Carney and Susie Haslip. So it's been fun for them. And to win in Saratoga, so that's kind of a cherry on top.
No, you bring up the residual portion, city zip mare. That's out of an AP Indy mare, and she's made $250,000, and no doubt this was a very good buy, and the perfect example, $50,000, and look where it goes. A couple of thoughts about Today, Believe in Luck, Mills, Romantic Babe.
We'll go backwards. Romantic Babe was on the AE. A very, very tough race. So she's scratched. She's not running today. Definitely needs easier company. That race came up a really good straight three-year-old filly to turn on the grass. So she's not good enough to run with those. Mills is an MTO. So
okay.
The other day when we entered, we were going to have rain, but fortunately for a couple of days, nice weather, everything was on the grass yesterday and today, so he won't be running. Believe in Luck, claimed last time, steps up a little bit. His race was just okay the day I claimed him. Thought he was a little lethargic, back off the pace. He beat me in parks with TR Crew. He ran really well in parks a couple of races. So Jose is on him today. I hope the horse wants to be a little more engaged and in the race. But so we'll see. Trying to get a piece of it. See where we're at with him, Steve.
Well, in addition, I should mention that tomorrow, and we may get rain tomorrow, so I don't know what's going to happen in that sixth race. What would you do with Merlin's Muse or Forever Daisy?
I would probably not. I wouldn't run Merlin's Muse. I think I tried it once last year. Looks terrible on form. I think her pedigree is all grass. And she's a Kate Blanco filly out of a Dean Hill Dancer mare in the European pedigree. So I think she's all grass. I definitely wouldn't run her. I would probably run the other filly. The other filly won over Sealed Track at Aqueduct. I think she's more meant for the grass. She's been a little bit of a disappointment. She's a filly that trains a little better than what she's run. But I'd be honest, I have not handicapped it as it comes off. But I'll run one of them. And I do it on purpose. I try to protect them in the racing office. If I'm able to run and love to see a bunch of scratches from my side of it, but I will run one of them.
Very good. And in the eighth, again, here's a group that would be super competitive, Yummy Bear, and we may risk, we are expecting weather tomorrow, but...
Yeah, very hit and miss, the weather here, So we'll see. He's probably definitely just grass only. He's been a hard knocker. I've called him an overachiever. Last year he gives you 110%. He's been running in an open allowance race, and it's just, there's always a couple of horses that are a little better than he is. He's back in a New York Red race tomorrow. It is not still an easy race, but, hopefully a little better spot for him. But I'd have to think, unless the race really fell apart, I'm probably true falling in there. So we'll be at the mercy of the weather. And as I say, I'm not going to worry about the weather for tomorrow until tomorrow morning.
Well, Dave, as always, it's fun to go through the shed with you and little racing history and so many successes that mark your career. A lot of times we've talked about Awad and his exploits and the places he brought you on a consistent basis. Dave Donk wins in New York on the toughest circuit, and we always enjoy our visits. And you can follow Dave. He kind of hides a little bit. He's got the unusual. What is the EQUEND? What is this? How did your Twitter moniker come to be?
Because the name of my company is Equus Endeavor, so it's the first three letters of those words. I do have a Twitter handle, but I've gotten smart enough to know that I shouldn't post on social media. So I love to follow European racing. I love to follow, all the handicappers and journalists in this country. It's interesting, all the feedback you get. Speed figure guys and stuff. So, I don't post anything, and probably because I better not say what I'm thinking.
Well, you're.
I can't be like this.
It has been a while. The last thing that you forwarded some.
Oh, you got to go back a few years. Yeah.
Yeah, back to 2013, actually.
Wow. Okay. So, well, I've been smart for 5 years. So. Yeah.
Well, I still will identify that I use, you know, whenever I tweet anything that includes you, I do use it, and you got 1,100 followers, so they do want to hear from you.
Yeah, I know. But like I said, I really enjoy following, you know, and factual information. So it is a great tool that way, and I think it's meant for people like yourself and people that are media and handicappers and, you know, of the world, and to put their opinions out there because they are their opinions. Not everybody has to like them. So, you know, it's interesting information. And you know, obviously the world is changing technology. So, but like I said, I'm probably a little better off sitting on the sideline.
Dave Donk, everybody. And Honk, if you like Donk. And I was amused when they, who was it that asked you that? That they were going to make you say it in the winner's circle.
Don't let me to say this. It's not for me to say.
No.
For a while, I think for a long time, they forgot the moniker because it was nobody's horn was working for a while. But yeah, so that was Nagy on TV there last week. So.
Well, we honk for Donk all the time.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much.
David, tremendous. Dave Donk, everybody, and there's a review of what's going on in the barn, and you got a good look. He does a great job. His horses. This is in this era. I mean, a guy like David Donk just plies the trade and wins, and on a consistent basis. And you're at the mercy of your stock when it comes to some of the clients. And then doing what he's done tells you a lot about the current landscape. He went and, for $52,000, bought Eloisel, knowing that you could always get that back in terms of her value as a broodmare, but then getting a few wins and a bunch of checks. I mean, she's made over $80,000 so far this year in five starts. So it works with a group of loyal owners, and that's how kind of the rank and file horsemen are surviving in what has been a bit of a shift in the ownership and the current scene that the industry offers. But he's been winning for a long time, Dave Donk. Let's take a break. Got more at the races, hour two. News, of course, if you haven't seen yet, after failing health, Aretha Franklin has passed. We'll certainly hear from Aretha back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true.
However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.